Salam and welcome to the program. A hadith from Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, reads that in every night of the blessed month of Ramadan, God forgives millions of sinners, and in the last night, he forgives as many sinners that he has forgiven throughout the month. Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace upon him, also says that in the month of Ramadan, God assigns the angels to seek forgiveness for those who fast, and in the last night, the angels give good news of forgiveness of all their sins. So let us repent and beseech to God to forgive our sins in the remaining days and nights of this blessed month. As the proverb reads, procrastination is the thief of time. According to the Islamic teachings, procrastination is one of the tricks of Satan. In other words, Satan keeps telling us that there is time to repent, whereas nobody knows when he or she will die. Imam Ali, peace upon him, says, penitence means regretting by heart, seeking forgiveness by tongue, practical abandonment of sin, and decision not to commit it again. Such penitence is called tauban nasuh, or pure penitence, penitence with no return to sin. The Prophet of Islam used to seek forgiveness 70 times every day while he was infallible and immune from any sin or mistake. By the way, how should we seek forgiveness and repent with so many sins? Well, we should never lose our hope in God's mercy. Despair of God's mercy is a great sin itself. Imam Sadiq, peace upon him, says, any servant who regrets the commitment of a sin, God will forgive his sin before he seeks forgiveness. But we should heed the fact that insistence on sin and appealing to God for forgiveness is a kind of ridiculing ourselves. The best time for abandoning sins is the blessed month of Ramadan. Imam Hassan Mujtaba, peace upon him, says that God-weariness is the prelude for penitence, and God has made fasting of Ramadan a prelude for God-weariness. Now, in this part of the program, let us mention some of other things that nullify fasting. A frequently asked question in this regard is the activities related to dentistry. Generally speaking, none of the activities at the dentist nullifies fasting, provided that nothing goes down the throat. However, it is better to go to the dentist after iftar, as most of the dental treatments include bleeding and it is hard not to swallow blood. All of us know that the aim of fasting is not solely abstaining from eating and drinking. There are lofty spiritual goals in fasting, so that Imam Baqir, peace upon him, says, Islam has been based on five things: prayer, zakat or almsgiving, hajj, fasting, and velayat, or God-given authority of the Prophet and the infallible Imams. According to this hadith, fasting is one of the pillars of Islam. Imam Baqir, peace upon him, said to his companion Jabir, O Jabir, anyone who enters the month of Ramadan, fasts in its days, spends its nights in prayer and supplication, keeps his rebellious self away from mean desires, his tongue from any forbidden saying, his eyes from any forbidden sin, and his disturbance from people, he will come out of his sins like the day in which he was born, and he will have no sin. Imam Baqir Pirsepan, him says that the most important way of controlling the self and salvation is to be God-wary. He wrote to one of his followers, "Indeed, God safeguards the servant against what is hidden from the reach of intellect through God-wariness and compensates his blindness and ignorance through God-wariness. It was through God-wariness that Noah and his companions were saved on the ship. And it was through God-wariness that Saleh and his companions were saved from the thunderbolt. And it was through God-wariness that the patient had been successful and those groups were saved from destruction." The Prophet's fifth infallible successor has also said, "Everything has a spring, and the spring of the Quran is the month of Ramadan. Recitation of the Quran and pondering on it leads to self-building and salvation from absurdity, aimlessness, perversion, and corruption. We appeal to God to help us to be careful of every minute action and thought in this month so that the way is paved for us to be God's true servants and gain His proximity."
The ocean of dua.
A'udhu billah min ash-shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Murarisi here with another special edition of this program, The Ocean of Dua. In this special edition and during this sacred and holy month of Ramadan, we'll try to talk about some parts of supplication of Abu Hamza Thumali. And we'll be bringing you the commentary on some parts of this supplication. We'll be back again after you listen to some parts of this dua, so stay with us.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ilahi. لو قرنتني بالأصفاد ومنعتني سيبك من بين الأشهاد ودللت على فضائحي عيون العباد وأمرت بي إلى النار وحلت بيني وبين الأبرار ما قطعت رجائي منك وما صرفت تأميلي للعفو عنك ولا خرج حبك من قلبي أنا لا أنسى أياديك عندي وسترك علي في دار الدنيا.
Brothers and sisters, we were discussing this part of the supplication. إلهي لو قرنتني بالأصفاد وَمَنَعْتَنِي سَيْبَكَ مِنْ بَيْنِ الْأَشْهَادِ وَدَلَلْتَ عَلَى فَضَائِحِ عُيُونَ الْعِبَادِ وَأَمَرْتَ بِي إِلَى النَّارِ وَحُلْتَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ الْأَبْرَارِ مَا قَتَعْتُ رَجَائِي مِنْكَ وَمَا صَرَفْتُ تَأْمِيلِي لِلْعَفْوِ عَنْكَ ولا خرج حبك من قلبي. O Allah, if I had been tied with chains, if I had been cut off from your flowing stream of your bounties in the presence of people, if the people were all eyes to see how I am exposed to infamy and disgrace, and if I am ordered to proceed to hell, and a barrier was put between me and the pious, even then I would not cease to have hope. It would not stop me from expecting your pardon, and it would not take away your love from my heart. أنا لا أنسى أياديك عندي. I have not forgotten your bounties. This is the key sentence we started to discuss, talking about how we should nurture the love of God in our hearts. What should we do in this world not to lose hope in Allah and to try to keep His love in our hearts, even though we face difficulties and hardships and problems in our everyday lives? We said one of the ways that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam is explicitly telling us to do is to try to remember his blessings that we are encircled with. I assume we have sufficiently discussed this element. But the other factor that can lead us to try to nurture his love in our hearts is to pay heed to his concealment of our sins. Ramadan, 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 Ramadan.
The ocean of dua.
Concerning the sins we commit in private, God has provided the ground for other people not to become aware of them. This is also one of the great blessings of Allah that has given His servants. Sometimes when a servant is alone, he commits a wicked act, but God the Exalted conceals this sin from public view. Had it not been for this blessing of God, he could not afford to be present in public. For this reason, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam says, أَنَا لَا أَنْسَ أَيَادِيَكَ عِنْدِي, I do not forget your helping hand upon me. وَسِتْرَكَ عَلَيَّ فِي دَارِ الدُّنْيَا, I would not forget your protection. I would not forget your covering of my secrets in my life. So, if during the holy month of Ramadan we do not prepare ourselves for such a program, we will not find any time more suitable than this. If we do not benefit from these opportunities, a time will come when we will regret. We should try to make the most of our opportunities, or else suddenly we will come to our senses and realize that another month of Ramadan has passed, but we did not repent for our sins. We are not relieved of the afflictions we got ourselves into, and we did not put off the fire we ignited ourselves by our past actions, by not remembering the blessings of our Lord, by not nurturing the love of God in our hearts. We have not fulfilled the rights of people, we haven't given up backbiting, and we haven't left the other sins we have committed. We should try and start this even from this night of holy month of Ramadan. So basically, based on the last two sentences of this part, that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam says, أَنَا لَا أَنْسَ أَيَادِيَكَ عِنْدِي وَسَتْرَكَ عَلَيَّ فِي دَارِ الدُّنْيَا, I do not forget your helping hand upon me, and I do not forget your protection of my secrets in life, we come to understand that there are two main ways that we can keep the love of Allah in our hearts even if we face the most dreadful hardships and difficulties both in this world and the other. The first is to try to remember the blessings of our Lord in our life, and the second is paying attention to God's concealment of our sins. We have it in some of our traditions that if Almighty Allah had not covered for the sins of the people in the universe, the people would not even bury each other. They would leave the dead bodies on the surface of the earth. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode of the program as well. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you through all my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
the wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
Scuffles and unrest were reported in several spots across Sweden. Fierce clashes have broken out between police and protesters during demonstrations against a far-right group's intention to burn the Holy Quran. Violent skirmishes erupted between supporters of the Strom Kurs party and the opponents of the blasphemous plan. Clashes and demonstrations have been held in a couple of cities. Over a dozen police officers have also been injured since the unrest started. Meanwhile, police has backed the hardline party's plan, saying it would not revoke permission for a demonstration organized by the party, because the free speech threshold for doing that is very high in Sweden. That's why there have been reported clashes in locations that the hardline party either had planned or had demonstrations. Also, Swedish Prime Minister Magdalena Andersson came out in support of the far-right group, making remarks that have been deemed provocative. She said in Sweden, people are allowed to express their opinions whether they are in good or bad taste. That is part of our democracy. These remarks only fanned the fire of unrest across the country and drew condemnations from the Muslim world, like from Iran. Iran summoned the Swedish envoy and condemned the desecration of the Holy Quran, saying the blasphemy was committed under the protection of the Swedish police. Tehran said it would hold the Swedish government as accountable and expects an immediate reaction from Stockholm against the perpetrator, as well as practical measures to prevent such incidents. On Thursday, the hardline party held a rally in a heavily Muslim-populated area in Sweden. At the demonstration, the party leader burned a copy of the Holy Quran, ignoring objections from onlookers. Counter-protests broke out with demonstrators setting fire to security vehicles after police ignored calls to stop the far-right demonstration. Strom Kurs is well known for its anti-immigrant and anti-Islam stances. Anti-Muslim sentiments have been on the rise across Europe in recent years in the wake of terrorist attacks in the continent, carried out mostly by Daesh sympathizers or the terrorist group's members who returned home following the group's defeat in Iraq and Syria. Muslim leaders in Europe and around the world have repeatedly condemned the terrorist attacks. Moreover, the rise of far-right ideology and the propagation of anti-immigration policies have also exacerbated the status of religious minorities in Europe. Also, different sorts of bans on hijab in countries like Germany and France, as well as closure of mosques and religious centers, have further pressured the Muslim community in those countries. Add to it the discrimination in recruitment and provision of job opportunities, harassment at workplace, and hate speech. Also, hate crimes against Muslims are rife in Europe. While the Muslim communities represent an indispensable minority of more than 25 million people, in the 27 European Union member states, a 2018 poll found that within the bloc, an average 37% of the population admits to having unfavorable views of Muslims. The mainstream Western media usually give coverage to Muslim matters through the prism of negative and counterproductive stereotypes. This biased coverage further promotes unreal stereotypes. In addition, European leaders have either been unsuccessful or reluctant in providing a convincing counter-narrative to Islamophobia. The UK has announced a controversial deal with Rwanda to send illegal immigrants and asylum seekers to the East African country. The British government claims the scheme, which is worth $156 million, would stop smugglers from sending thousands of desperate migrants on dangerous journeys across the English Channel every year. Over 28,000 migrants and refugees have crossed the English Channel in 2021. That's three times higher than the year before. In November last year, 27 people died while trying to reach the UK when their boat sank in the worst disaster to occur on the Channel. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson hailed the deal with Kigali, saying the East African country with a sketchy human rights record is one of the safest countries in the world, globally recognized for its record of welcoming and integrating migrants. Rwanda already hosts some 140,000 refugees in 6 refugee camps. However, rights groups and refugee organizations swiftly slammed what they called a cruel, inhumane, and neo-colonial plan. They also questioned both its costs to British taxpayers and its effect on migration. According to a recent poll, 60% of the British public is dissatisfied with the Johnson government's migration policy. The UN's refugee agency has also voiced opposition, saying people fleeing persecution should not be treated like commodities. The world body stated that such arrangements simply shift asylum responsibilities, evade international obligations, and are contrary to the letter and spirit of the Refugee Convention. Others have criticized Rwanda's human rights record, accusing the government of torturing, intimidating, and assassinating their political opponents, and persecuting marginalized people. Johnson said the deal will become a new international standard in handling migration, but human rights groups have warned that the plan could set a dangerous trend for other Western countries to adopt their offshore asylum schemes.
Well, Britain has a good history of trading in human beings. As you know, the whole sort of movement of Africans to North America, Britain was a leading player in shipping slaves from Africa to North America and to Caribbean islands. So Britain has a track record of trading in human beings. So one could, if you like, describe it in that manner. But I think the evil aspect of what's really happening in 2022, that may have happened 200 years ago, and when later on slavery was banned. But the reality is that perhaps we are living in a new epoch of slavery at this time.
British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has vowed to curb the English Channel crossings. However, there has been a drastic increase in the number of people arriving on British shores on small boats in recent years. The government passed a Nationality and Borders Bill that would make it a criminal offence to enter the UK illegally, and it would introduce life sentences for people smugglers. But the UN's refugee agency criticized the bill, saying it would penalize most refugees seeking asylum in the country and would create an asylum model that undermines established international refugee protection rules and practices. Meanwhile, the refugee deal with Rwanda comes as more Ukrainians arrive in the UK through different visa programs that the Johnson government has rolled out in the wake of the Russia-Ukraine war. Over 55,000 visas have been issued to refugees fleeing the conflict in Ukraine so far. This clearly shows a contradiction between the proposed policy and the British government's attitude toward Ukrainian refugees.
The reality is that the British government is acting in a very racist manner as well. You know, they might say that, okay, it was sort of media correspondence who depicted the European the Ukrainian refugees in that manner. But the reality is that the implementation of this policy perhaps smacks of what I call racism, clear and without any sort of dilution to it.
Unlike what the British government claims, those seeking to cross the English Channel and land on British soil are not illegal economic migrants, but are mainly those who have escaped bloodshed, war, and terror. They are people fleeing oppression and violence from Afghanistan, West Asia, or even Europe. They are exercising their right under the UN Refugee Convention, which the UK was a founding signatory of, to seek asylum in a country of their choosing. And let's not forget that they are no different from Ukrainian refugees.
Israeli forces have stormed the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound in the occupied old city of Al-Quds
and attacked the Palestinian worshippers there. The raid began at dawn on Friday when Israeli forces entered the compound through the Moroccan Gate, also known as the Mughrabi Gate, throwing stun grenades and shooting rubber bullets at the crowd indiscriminately. 400 Palestinians were arrested. Media reports said the Israeli forces also attacked paramedics and press crews, chased them in the courtyards of Al-Aqsa Mosque, and beat a number of them. The Palestinian Red Crescent Society reported that 152 fasting Palestinians had been transferred to hospitals in the occupied Al-Quds for injuries as a result of the raid. Following the Friday prayers, people held rallies in the Gaza Strip in solidarity with the Palestinians at the Al-Aqsa Mosque.
They want it for themselves. They want the Palestinians gone. They want Islam to be gone from Palestine and Christianity too, everything except Judaism. So really, they don't mind having this as a flashpoint for them, as a center of dispute. They want this dispute to go on until they win. That's what they're looking for. And every time they bring settlers there to cause trouble, it's part of what they see as a continuing war for their control of the land. That's what this is about.
The regime has stepped up its deadly acts of aggression across the Palestinian territory since the beginning of Ramadan, as a result of which, Palestinians put up a stronger resistance to counter the aggression. The events unfolding in the occupied territories are reminiscent of clashes between the Israeli forces and Palestinians in the West Bank last year that led to an 11-day war between the resistance groups in Gaza and Israel. Over 250 Palestinians were killed in the war, many of them were women and children. Observers now believe that more confrontations are imminent. As the pressure mounts, Palestinians have stepped up their retaliatory operations against Israelis. Over the past 3 weeks, Palestinians have carried out 4 such retaliatory operations, killing over a dozen Israelis. Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett has given the regime's forces a free hand to crack down on Palestinians. He has also called on Israeli civilians with gun licenses to carry weapons in public.
They can find ways to make the Israeli occupation painful. And already, actually, quite a few Israelis over the last decade have emigrated elsewhere. You have Israeli immigration into Europe and the United States and to Australia. Possibly as many as 1 million Israelis have done that. If the Palestinians can make it painful enough for the Israelis might just disappear.
When some Arab states announced the normalization of ties with Israel, they claimed that their moves will help the Palestinian cause. But the events of the past couple of years have shown that the only contribution their newly established ties with Tel Aviv made to Palestinians has been even more suffering. In the absence of any accountability, Israel is expected to put even more pressure on the people of Palestine. But the Palestinians are indicating that they remain steadfast to keep fighting against the Israeli occupation with or without international support.
Racial tensions are running high in Grand Rapids, Michigan, after police this week released footage of a white officer lying on the back of an unarmed black man, shooting him in the head. Patrick Leoya, 26, was killed on April 4th after a struggle during a traffic stop. State police are investigating the incident. The officer is currently on administrative leave pending the outcome of the investigation. Authorities say he would not be identified unless criminal charges are pressed against him. The family of Loyola called the video of the shooting, quote, the most horrifying thing they've ever seen, and asked for the officer's name to be released. The shooting has led to protests in the area, with activists expressing grief and frustration with years of inaction on policing issues by Grand Rapids leaders.
Given the U.S.'s long history of police brutality, from Rodney King to George Floyd and now today, we can't be shocked. And I think that the Black community should and is justified in being angry at the establishment and seeking methods outside of the establishment and the political structure for seeking change.
The fatal shooting of the unarmed Black man by the white officer is the latest on a very long list of similar incidents. Police killings of Black men have dominated national debates in recent years, particularly after the 2020 murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis, which triggered persistent protests across America. The deep-rooted problem lingers on. So far this year, over 250 people have been fatally shot by on-duty police officers nationwide. The latest case is another bitter reminder that the system in the United States has failed to take measures to resolve the pressing problem. The April 4th shooting has once again brought deadly police violence in America under the spotlight. Civil rights organization, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, has been quick to react. The NAACP, which tries to advance justice for African Americans, said in a statement that the shooting is horrifying and deeply frustrating because Americans had meaningful legislation designed to avoid exactly what they are witnessing in this week's police video. It said the involved officer has blood on his hands, and so do the senators who killed the George Floyd Justice in Policing Act. The piece of legislation was passed by the U.S. House of Representatives in March 2021, but bipartisan negotiations in the U.S. Congress over the police reform bill ended in stalemate. The sweeping legislation was passed by the House amid outcry after the murder of George Floyd. It would have banned chokeholds and qualified immunity for law enforcement. It would have also created national standards for policing in an effort to increase accountability.
Lack of efforts to reform the system that are coming from the top. There's no real incentive for legislators to reform when they are benefiting off of the corrupt policing system and corrupt judicial system that this country has. There's also a lack of struggle in the organizations, a lack of structure in the organizations that are struggling against police brutality.
The failure to pass the police reform has been considered as a setback for the administration of U.S. President Joe Biden, who had energetically supported the legislation. President Biden has faced growing calls to sign an executive order to reform the police, but has failed to act. Experts believe ethnic minorities in America, especially African Americans, are facing a very deep-rooted problem that will not be resolved anytime soon. Observers have largely attributed this to the racist roots of American policing and social structures.
In the limelight.
So what benefit do the satanic elements in the West get by trying to desecrate the sanctity of the Holy Quran on the pretext of freedom of expression and action? Nothing, except exposing their own devilish nature, which is unfortunately aided and abetted by certain European and other countries, despite their dubious claim to respect human rights. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by Kayhan, International Staff Writer. This article is published under the heading, Devilish Disrespect Does Not Diminish Dynamism of Holy Quran. Stay tuned for more. Those who submit themselves to the will of one and only creator of the entire universe on the basis of the fundamental principle of monotheism in its purest form and acknowledge Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, as the Almighty's last messenger in the unbroken chain of God's representatives in every part of planet Earth, beginning with the father of the human race, Adam, are called Muslims. Consequently, Muslims who respect all the prophets that God had sent for guidance of various nations and revere the heavenly scriptures given to some of them, such as the Torah to Moses and the Evangel to Jesus, hold the Holy Quran as the final divine revelation for all humanity, since Islam is a universal creed. Thus, Muslims never disrespect the holy books of other religions, leave alone torching them, even when it is known that the various versions of these texts in circulation amongst their followers have not been preserved in the original form and were subjected to interpolation. Interestingly, the Holy Quran is hailed as the eternal miracle granted by the Lord Most High as proof of the universal mission of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, in view of the fact that its challenge to skeptics to try to produce even a few lines matching its flawless eloquence and timeless wisdom remains unanswered to this day, as admitted by scholars in every age and place, including the Christian Arab literary. So what benefit do the satanic elements in the West get by trying to desecrate the sanctity of the Holy Quran on the pretext of freedom of expression and action? Nothing, except exposing their own devilish nature, which is unfortunately aided and abetted by certain European and other countries, despite their dubious claim to respect human rights. The Islamic Republic of Iran thus summoned the Swedish ambassador in Tehran to the foreign ministry on Sunday, April 18th, and lodged a strong protest for the latest act of sacrilege in Sweden towards the scripture revered by almost 2 billion Muslims all over the world, as well as hundreds of millions of other human beings. The statement said, "Iran strongly condemns the burning of a copy of the Holy Quran in the Swedish city of Linköping by a Danish racist extremist, which was done under the protection of the Swedish police on the pretext of freedom of speech, calling on Stockholm to take immediate, severe, and explicit action against the perpetrator, as well as practical measures to prevent such incidents in future," Iran's foreign ministry spokesperson Said Khatibzadeh said. "Blasphemy is an evident example of hatred in contrast with freedom of speech and should be condemned by all those who believe in coexistence and dialogue between faiths." The recent sacrilegious offense by leader of the Danish hardline party, Rasmus Paludan, that led to riots in several parts of Sweden and injury to innocent men, women and children, was not first instance of devilish disrespect towards the Holy Quran, and neither would be the last in view of the satanic intentions of the enemies of humanity. These frustrated forces of Lucifer, however, should know that they cannot avert the inevitable, and as many, including the Irish philosopher and playwright George Bernard Shaw, had predicted, Islam will be the future religion of Europe.
Hi.
Cultural news. Social news. Scientific news. Artistic news. With delight.
Magic returns to Belgium with a purple carpet of bluebells covering the undergrowth of Hallerbos woods near Brussels. Each spring, this beech forest turns into a bluebell spectacular, turning the area into a natural wonderland. Millions of these blooming flowers sprout up across the 550-hectare woods, filling the air with their sweet aroma. The short but enchanting blooming phase offers nature enthusiasts a one-of-a-kind experience.
It is an outstanding and magical place because whenever we come, there's an amazing atmosphere. The sunrise was truly beautiful this morning, and we know this offers the opportunity to take great photos and decorate our house. It is a great comfort during these tough times.
Visitors can stroll the winding paths and watch rabbits and deer wandering through the woods. The forest floor blooms for a period of 7 to 10 days. After this time, leaves begin to grow on the trees above them, blocking the sunlight from reaching the flowers. The phenomenon of bluebell forest is not uncommon in Europe, but the Hallerbos greenery is unique for the density and beauty of its blossoms. A huge pink moon has glowed over Chilean skies, mesmerizing stargazers and ordinary citizens alike. The full moon was completely visible over the capital, Santiago. The celestial phenomenon is called a pink moon as it appears in April and is named after an American plant, pink plot, that blooms in spring. The pink moon will shine during the weekend through early Monday and may be visible in most parts of the world. The phenomenon also marks the calendar for different religious festivities around the globe.
A batch of autonomous delivery vehicles has been provided to facilitate personnel and volunteers in the streets and communities of Shanghai. The self-driving vehicles distribute supplies to residents in the Chinese megacity, which is now hit hard by the Omicron variant of the coronavirus. The vehicles reduce person-to-person contact and largely lower the risk of infection. A community served by the distribution station has more than 30 apartment buildings and nearly 3,000 residents. The weight of each order is more than 5 kilograms, which puts great pressure on the volunteers to deliver. 49 autonomous delivery vehicles have been sent to communities, colleges, and hospitals in Shanghai to support anti-pandemic and supply work. Sunny skies and spring temperatures made for the perfect setting for the 65th birthday of Fatu, the world's oldest gorilla living at Berlin Zoo. At this age, the Western Lowland gorilla is what Berlin Zoo calls almost something of a legend. Gorillas living in the wild have a life expectancy of about 40 years, and at 65, she has been the world's oldest living gorilla for a while. 65 is absolutely extraordinary, and that obviously needs to be celebrated in style.
They mainly get vegetables, and the sugar they receive at most is fruit sugar, and that's what she saw for today in the shape of raspberries and blueberries. They were the decoration on rice cake made of boiled rice, a thin layer of rice and some curd so it sticks together. The bottom was made of a lot of green stuff, then the lion and lettuce.
According to Berlin Zoo, Western Lowland gorillas are now an endangered species after their natural habitat was continuously decimated, and therefore fewer and fewer animals live in the tropical rainforest of Cameroon, the Central African Republic, Gabon, and the Republic of Congo. Opera is opening its doors to the deaf community for the very first time. The Los Angeles Philharmonic Orchestra has teamed up with the Deaf West Theater to stage a production of Beethoven's only opera, Fidelio, at their home at the Walt Disney Hall. The chorus will be performed by the White Hands Choir, a group from Venezuela consisting of disabled children and young adults who sing as well as sign. The production pairs up a singer and a deaf actor to both inhabit the one role on stage. Having deaf actors perform alongside opera singers, however, has its challenges, not least of which is keeping up the rhythm of the music.
I think probably that there's a lot of tempo that I've been rehearsing. A lot of times when the singers hold the same word, but the next time they say that exact same word in the next few bars, they don't hold it as long. So trying to remember all of those is very difficult. So are they holding this for four beats or two beats? Or what word is this in this thing?
I feel like the challenge with opera is that it's very fluid and it's not repetitive. The tempos change throughout it, and night to night it even changes. The conductor, you know, kind of changes how he conducts things each night, and so that is something that is challenging.
The opera singers also give small cues to the actors, like opening a letter or sitting down or standing up, to keep them informed where they are in the piece. The deaf cast use theatrical ASL, or American Sign Language, in the production. DJ Kurs, the producer at the Deaf West Theater, says the performance is a little bit more poetic and a little bit more kind of picturesque.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A startup in the U.S. state of California is turning science fiction into reality by sending tiny robots on a fantastic voyage inside humans to treat brain disorders. The smart cells are small enough to be injected and can be carefully guided through the brain using magnetic coils placed outside of the patient's skull. The coils are linked to a computer that can remotely maneuver the robots through delicate pathways into the affected part of the brain. The micro-robots are also removed by rewinding them through the same route. The developers at Bionaut Labs say these robots are extremely important when it comes to zero-failure-sensitive surgeries.
For localized conditions such as cancer tumors, stroke, atherosclerotic plaque buildup, localized pain, and many other conditions, there is a real need to have a micro-robotic, precise, remote-controlled mechanism that can treat a condition only at a specific point and nowhere else.
The startup has already tested the robots on large animals. Inventors hope to use the robot to pierce fluid-filled cysts within the brain when clinical trials on humans begin in 2 years. If approved, they could offer key advantages over more invasive and dangerous treatments for brain disorders. Floating solar panels help landowners benefit from underused body of water. Now, a German company is covering 14,000 square meters of a lake with these panels, turning it into the biggest solar park in the country. The park is built by a family-owned company called Quartzwerk, which specializes in extracting and processing industrial minerals. The company says it wants to become independent of fossil energy sources amid rising energy prices. The head of the Floating Panel Corporation says they will be generating around 3 million kilowatts per hour of green electricity on the surfaces of Limmersheim Lake in southern Germany.
The plant can make a super big contribution to the land-neutral energy transition.
because here an unused lake that was previously used for gravel extraction is being converted into a power plant for renewable energy.
Installation and maintenance of the panels are easy and safe, while they also offer a significant reduction in evaporation from the water surface. According to the company, this will save around 1,100 tons of carbon dioxide each year.
A restaurant in the Indonesian capital of Jakarta is taking fine dining to new heights, literally and figuratively, by giving diners a one-of-a-kind experience 50 meters above ground. The restaurant is called Lounge in the Sky. Diners are securely strapped into seats fixed to a table and are hoisted into the air using a heavy-duty lift. First, the gourmet meals are prepared in the main kitchen. Then, the food is loaded onto the platform where the dishes are plated and served to the patrons. The suspended guests are able to take advantage of breathtaking views as they gently rotate at great heights.
At first, it was not easy. I was nervous that I wouldn't be able to swallow the food, let alone drink. But after some time, I could eventually eat. It was thrilling.
While enjoying the meals, the guests use seat belts and the accompanying staff are equipped with safety harnesses. The guests are also briefed on safety regulations before the platform is raised. Diners call the one-hour experience exhilarating and worth the high price. The project developers say the restaurant was aimed at reviving local and international tourism sector after a big slump during the COVID-19 pandemic. The culinary experience is a first in Indonesia and the third in the world after Belgium and Malaysia.
South Koreans are getting outside to enjoy the open air with a local cherry blossom festival in central Seoul. This is while the country has been dealing with an ongoing surge of the Omicron variant of COVID-19. With some performances and the beauty of spring, many people look forward to turning the corner on the pandemic. Frank Smith has a story.
Spring has come to South Korea, and the cherry blossoms are blooming. COVID-19 restrictions on gatherings are finally being eased, and at Ansan Park in central Seoul, a small festival is bringing everyone back out.
I first came here with my friends 4 years ago, but we couldn't come for the past 2 years because of COVID. I was impressed to see so many people no longer being overly careful about COVID, and we're also very happy to be able to attend festivals like this one.
South Koreans have been quite diligent in observing social distancing guidelines and wearing masks. The Omicron variant of COVID-19 has been quite severe here, with cases only recently declining below 200,000 per day. Still, the government's decided to open up. From the open-air stage, Noah Ram and his band entertain a crowd that's anxious to finally get outside and enjoy group activities.
Ever since COVID, and particularly for the entirety of 2021, when the pandemic was at its peak, I have been unable to perform. I felt today was a restart. Spring has come, the weather's great, the blossoms beautiful, and I felt all of this was celebrating today's show.
South Korea's vaccination rate is nearly 90%, with children now getting the jab.
At first, I was very scared of COVID as I felt it was life-threatening. But now I feel okay with it because I consider it an experience and a certain reality. Also, I worry less because of the vaccines and the new medications.
The cherry blossoms blooming has been tracked from Jeju Island in the south and up to the capital as warm weather moved north. And with this change in seasons, attitudes toward life with COVID are changing as well. Frank Smith,